Okay, two homilies today, I'm sorry. Just can't leave these readings alone. So that first reading, I want to start by apologizing to all you married people because you're not as good as celibates, right? Well, Paul is speaking in a particular context, of course. One part of that context is that he, like so many other people in that first century AD, thought that Christ was going to come again in their lifetime. So if it's only going to be a few years, then why get married? That's, you know, start a whole family and everything, and then the kingdom comes. That's part of it. The other part is Paul himself was a celibate, and so was Jesus. And the early church knew lots of people who consecrated themselves more fully to Christ by taking on celibacy, celibate lifestyle. And that's kind of continued through the tradition of the church. We have men and women, religious, who take a vow of celibacy, and they join community life in a monastery, a convent, a friary, etc. And, of course, priests take a vow of celibacy as well. So celibacy has always been revered in the church. But marriage has too. And marriage is a vocation, the same as religious life is a vocation. But not everybody is called to marriage. There are lots of people who don't get married. And they live in the single state, and some of them even take on intentional celibacy. It's not just for religious, but lay people as well. Marriage is a call, not only to that specific person, but it's a call to redemption. That one of the reasons God calls two people together is so that they may redeem each other, so that they may participate in the redemptive act of Christ in drawing that other person to Christ. You know, in marriage, it's not just a secular event, it's a religious, liturgical event in which the two are joined in Christ. And so, just like here in the assembly, Christ is the union among us. We are a community not because we get along so well or because we even like each other. It has to do with Christ. Our bond of unity is Christ in the Holy Spirit. Okay, second homily. God never willed disunity. In God's understanding, He has always been one with His creation, and His creation has always been one with Him. Division, disunity, separation, or alienation from God was never God's idea. It was ours. Human sin caused this division. And that division comes from diabolo, the word for devil. And diabolo means to divide. And so the world has been divided, alienated from God. And humans have been alienated from God. But Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father, to give us the good news that we've never really been separate. That's only an illusion that we made up. We've never been separate from God. We can't be even if we want to. But we do have free will, and we can push that away if we choose. And the devil, the evil spirit spoken of in that gospel story, the devil is the author of disunity and is always reminding us to separate ourselves from God. So in the gospel story, there's this man in the synagogue possessed with a demon, and the demon addresses Jesus, "I know who you are, the Son of God. Have you come to destroy us?" And that's exactly why Jesus came. Because the demons, they stand for that entrapment, that enslavement that human nature has been in since Adam and Eve. And they've been in control of the world. And Jesus comes to do away with their kingdom and replace it with the kingdom of God. So they're threatened, naturally. Lots of other people in the gospel stories don't recognize who Jesus is, but they do, because they recognize that their authority is coming to an end. Because Moses predicted in that first reading from Deuteronomy that God would raise up a prophet from among their midst, from among their own kin, from the human race, who would speak with the very authority of God. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that expectation. Jesus is the new Moses, but he's more than Moses. Moses spoke directly to God. And therefore, he spoke with the authority of God. But Jesus doesn't just speak with God personally. He is God. He and the Father are one. And so the disunity that we've experienced in nature and in humanity is resolved, brought together in him, because he is divine and human in the same person. One person with two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. And he says to us, I invite you into that same kind of union, God and humanity together in you. So this morning we have a baptism, and Tyrion, we prayed a sort of a prayer of exorcism over him back there at the font a few minutes ago. And we ask God to cast out the spirit of evil that may have been in him, because he's going to put all that behind him now. And he's going to pass through the font, and he starts at the door, and the doors are the difference between outside the kingdom and in. And he's going to put his back to the outside world, and he's going to face the altar, and he's going to come through the font. And then we're going to anoint him with the Holy Spirit, so that the Spirit of God is going to dwell in him from now on for the rest of his, for all eternity. The union between God and humanity is going to be exhibited in him, just like it is in us. And so we welcome Tyrion for this wonderful occasion, and it's a good time for us to renew our own baptismal commitment.